Bid you welcome on this beautiful Lord's Day. The weather's been tremendous, and I think it helps you to feel a little bit better within yourself, especially when you come to worship the Lord, and that's why we're here. And week by week, a few more starting to come back. Lovely to see you if you're back for the first time after a wee while not being with us. Welcome especially. We're going to worship the Lord and sing together the hymn 56. Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that mortals ever knew, that angels ever bore. All are too mean to speak his worth, too mean to set my Savior forth. Psalm 63 is our psalm for today. Let's hear the word of God. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. One very especially as we come to seek the Lord to remember our province. We are praying for committees and governments who are now making decisions in these days about abortion, the conversion therapy. There is legislation being pushed in the south of Ireland, Dying with Dignity, which is euthanasia. And this will have an impact upon Northern Ireland because they're trying to get it for the whole of Ireland. They're also seeking to outlaw smacking children. We don't believe in abusing children, but if a child needs a little bit of corporal punishment, we believe that's biblical, it's right. But we were told yesterday that this is something that's being pushed now. The Green Party proposing buffer zones outside abortion clinics to stop protests or open airs. And that's just a step away to prohibiting open airs elsewhere. So they say you can't have an open air here outside our clinic. The next step will be you can't have it outside my house. You can't have it outside my shop. And that's where things are going, sadly. The University of Ulster campaigning to remove church representation from schools on the Board of Governors. And we're asking you to pray for John Sherwood, who was arrested for preaching, just for simply saying that God made man, male and female. And you may have seen the video, as I have seen it, of the police coming and pulling him off his little stand that he had and arresting him and taking him away. Reverend Dane, yesterday in the time of prayer, preached on Proverbs 14:34, reminding us that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to many people. And that's the key. We need righteousness in the nation. I want to pray that God will reign righteousness in this country. That righteousness, first and foremost, is Christ, who is our righteousness. And we need to present Christ to this nation, to this world, and he will bring the changes. We're asking you to remember the COVID-19 situation in Brazil is beginning to abate quite a bit from our contacts, and also in India. We are in touch with Christians in both countries who are reporting on the dire situations of sickness and death. I was in touch with Dipankar yesterday, telling him what I've seen in the news. He assures me that it's far worse than what we're seeing on the news. His own parents had suffered with COVID. They are still suffering with long COVID. They need oxygen. He was touring everywhere trying to get oxygen and could not obtain it anywhere. So these are real situations that God's people and others are facing in these countries. Let's pray together. We thank thee, dear gracious God, for the wonderful names of our Savior. When we join them all together, we get a greater picture of who he is. We think of the meaning of those names. And Lord, when we ponder who Christ is and those glorious names throughout the Scripture, over 200 of them that are connected to the Lord Jesus, we begin to see more and more of who he is and what he came to do and what he still is today. We thank thee that he is the mediator and the advocate at the right hand of the Father. We thank thee that he is the one who is ever present with his people right now in this meeting he is here. We thank thee that he is the Savior. Preeminently, we rejoice in the name of Jesus that means Savior. If it had not have been for Jesus who came to save his people from their sins, we would still be lost and on the broad road to hell. But we thank thee for the coming of Christ. We thank thee for the work that he did when he was here on the earth. We rejoice in redemption again and the standing that we have in Christ. For those of us that are truly saved by your grace, we praise thee for that day of conversion when our sins were put away, when we were brought out of the devil's kingdom into the kingdom of light and liberty and freedom. We thank thee that our sins, which were many, were forgotten by the Lord, forgiven by the Lord, removed, put away from us, never to be brought in accusation or condemnation ever again. We thank thee that Jesus Christ has borne it all. And we just want to rejoice in these things at the beginning of the meeting. I want to thank thee afresh for all that the Savior means to us. We thank thee for the lines of the hymn that have reminded us of so much glorious truth about Christ and his great work and his mighty blood. We thank thee too for the reading of the psalm, and we want to possess something of that soul thirst that is expressed in that psalm that David had. As we meet here, come to worship, we don't want to sit with a mind that is elsewhere or a heart that is not set upon God. Lord, we believe that to be a disgraceful way to come to the house of God. We're here to meet with thee. You're here. You're looking upon us. Your eyes go right into our hearts. You read the very thoughts of our minds. Lord, we want that inner desire for God, that burning soul desire for thee. And we pray that you will create that soul thirst now, even within the hearts and lives of your people. Help us to sing with meaning. Help us to sing worshiping God. Help us to listen with meaning today as we come to the Word. And we pray for the nation. And Lord, these things that we've mentioned, all going on there in high places, we take great comfort in the fact that God Almighty is on the throne. We thank thee that thou art king over all. And even though there are things that are happening in the nations of the world, and not least our own nation, that discourage us, when we see men trampling under feet your law and despising your word and seeking to take away Christianity from our land, we thank thee that God is on the throne and he will remember his own. And there is a remnant. We were thinking about this yesterday in prayer. There's a remnant that God is pleased to intervene on behalf of. You have a people in this country that you love, and we pray even for your people's sake. In wrath, you'll remember mercy, that you will come and visit this land with revival. We believe that to be the answer, for God to come down, for a reign of righteousness to be given, for the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of families and communities and bring about changes that turn the hearts of people from sin to God, that bring them to respect your word and your law. You're able to do these things, and we do ask in Jesus' name that you will turn around the situation for your glory and for the good of your people. Bless this people now as we worship thee. We come from different homes, different families. We have different needs. Lord, you know about them all. And we just commit our way to thee. We pray that you'll come and sit with us and bless us here in Jesus' name. Amen. We bid you welcome in the Lord's great name to those that are here and those that have returned who haven't been for a wee while. Glad to see you. And also those that are tuning in on Sermon Audio, Facebook, and YouTube. Tonight is the gospel service at 7. We have our prayer meeting. We have that on Zoom at 5:30 to 6 o'clock. Please remember that. Join us in the season of prayer. And I want to take up a series, The Awful Place Called Hell. We'll explain a little bit more about that tonight. But it is a subject that is often not preached upon. It's not a very popular subject, but it's a subject that needs to be dealt with. And over the next little while on a Sunday night, we want to deal with this theme. On Monday night, there's a youth fellowship committee meeting at 9 o'clock. Just goes to show the difference between young people and older people. Older people like to have meetings at 7 or 8, but there's the young people, they can go for 9. Want to congratulate the new committee who were elected on Friday night. So we have Aaron McCauley, Lewis McCauley, Chrissy Blair, Rebecca McCauley, Rebecca Ray, and Chloe McCauley. We wish them well as they seek to help our youth leaders and oversee the work of our youth fellowship. Tuesday night is Youth Challenge, 7 o'clock, live broadcast from the church here. If I get my dates right, this is probably the last one. This is the last one before breaking off. We normally stop at Easter, but we ran it a little bit more. So the final one, Tuesday night, I want to thank Andrew and all who have come in to do this. Thursday night is a deputation service. We did have to get an extra one in this month. Andy Foster was to be with us in January, and then we had another date, and then we had to go for 2 weeks ago. But this was the regular missionary night, and the Trinitarian Bible Society will be here, and the speaker is the Reverend Craig Dennison. He will be giving special prayer for missionary work and revival on Thursday. Friday night, the Youth Fellowship meets under the COVID mitigation rules at 8 o'clock. Want to mention a testimony meeting to you. It's an evening on Saturday evening, 1st of May at 7:30 to 9. Darren Bailey from Porto Vogue, Jonathan Ray, and Hartford and Phyllis Arnold all taking part on that. And I will send you the details where you can get linked in on Zoom if you want to join that. John Weir will bring the closing message. Next Lord's Day, the early time of prayer, 8 o'clock. We had a great prayer meeting this morning, sense the Lord with us. I want to thank those that are able to rise and pray on a Sabbath morning. The Sunday school at 10:30, returning physically now to the building. So just some things that I want to say. Our superintendent has sent out a letter to our parents. Now that schools have returned, our church session, following advice from the presbytery of our denomination, has given approval for Sunday school to recommence on the 2nd of May. The teachers are delighted with this news and are looking forward to meeting the children again. However, due to the continuing pandemic, there will be quite a few changes to normal Sunday school. Children will not be in their usual small classes, but a number of classes will come together to form three groups, a junior group, middle group, and senior group. Children will be asked to use hand sanitizer on entering and leaving Sunday school. All children of secondary school age are required to wear a face covering. The children will sit socially distanced from when they arrive until they are picked up by parents or called for their bus. There will be no lesson books going home for the foreseeable future. I want to ask parents to drop their children off at the link door, collect them from the Carson Complex doors. These will be signposted. Please remain socially distanced while waiting for your children. Sunday school will commence at 10:45 sharp. Teachers will be there from 10:30 to welcome the children. Sunday school will end at 11:20, and we would ask you to arrive as close to that time as possible to collect your children. In order to allow the children time to leave Sunday school, the main church building will not open for morning worship until 11:30. Now, just a wee note on the bus transport. We will be adapting our minibuses to accommodate two families only on each bus run. Plastic screens will provide separation. After each run, the passenger area of the bus will be sanitized with a fogging machine. This will extend the time it takes to complete our bus runs. If you're able to provide your own transport for this, that would be a huge help. However, if your child previously came by bus, we will make every effort to transport them and or to and from Sunday school. If you have any other question about that, if you see Wesley, he'll give you the details. Bible class 10:30 on Zoom, coming into the new month. Brother Phil will be taking over again, coming back to the life of Joseph, when the Lord steps into our circumstances. And if anybody wants to join the Bible class on Zoom, see Phil, he can give you the link. Worship service, 12 noon. We are doing our meditations from the Gospel of Mark. Family night service is at 7. Victoria Salt will be here to sing. And we will be continuing, God willing, with our series. The session of prayer is 5:30 to 6. Can I announce a special work day around the church on Saturday the 8th of May. If you can see Philip Calderwood or Ryan Moore, who will coordinate the work program, that will be good. Some may be able to do something in their own time. So we don't want just a crowd coming on that day and you not knowing what you're going to do, or we need to just make sure our mitigations are in place as well in these days. So you need to see Philip or Ryan, and they will be able to direct you. Thank you again for your tithes and your offerings to God's work. And we ask you to continue to pray for the work here and for the sick and the needy of the congregation. Keep upholding them at the throne of grace. We were so delighted to have our youth fellowship back on Friday night past. And this is what the hall looked like on Friday night. We were able to get them into their family groups. They were able to sit brothers and sisters together. And I want to thank our youth leader and his assistants for bringing this all together. And you should be able maybe just to hear the young people sing. It was a lovely sight, wasn't it, just to see the youth back on Friday night, young people gathered in. We have a lovely group of youth in this church, and we know that many of them love the Lord, and it's just great to see them on a Friday night, now back physically again. Sunday school had their final online this morning, and Wesley was explaining a little bit about the social distancing that's going to be in place next week. I want to thank Elaine for doing the memory verse, and for Ryan, as he spoke on a good Bible theme about building and how you ought to build, what you ought to build upon, what you ought to build with. We had a meeting this morning. We're glad to have Glenn Hamilton joining us. He is helping out on the last Sunday of every month, speaking for this group in Pakistan. And this has been sent. If it hasn't been physically collected, it will be at the beginning of the week, to Romania, and it'll take about 7 days to get there. There is a booklet by our brother Chris Killen, Teaching the Truth, and it's about drugs, and this will be a very helpful booklet for families just to read, even for parents to know what to look out for. If you know of those that are on drugs, it'll help you, give you a bit more understanding to the whole background of it all. It's an excellent booklet, and those are free of charge, and they're out on the table. We sing together the hymn 552, A Life of Overcoming, A Life of Ceaseless Praise. Be this thy blessed portion throughout the coming days. The victory was purchased on Calvary's cross for thee. Sin shall not have dominion. The Son hath made thee free.
Thank you.
Let's all turn to Mark chapter 3. Coming back to the same section of last week, but we will be thinking particularly of verse 27. We're going to read from verse 22 down to verse 27. "And which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." May God bless the reading of his precious word. I'm just going to ask you if you'd like to stand for a word of prayer. That'll change your position. You've been sitting all this time before we come to the word. Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being in the house of God today. We know that it is a joy to come to the house of the Lord. Think of how David spoke about it again and again in the Psalms, in the light that was in his soul as he made his way up to the temple for the worship of the Almighty. And Lord, we thank thee as we come to God's house that there's a joy in our hearts too. We're meeting with thee. We've heard from thee already. Your word has been read. We've sung these hymns together. You've been speaking to our hearts. Speak on now as we come to our Bible meditation. Open up the scriptures. Teach us the things that we need to know. And may we go from this house strengthened in the things of God, built up and edified in our faith, and ready to do combat for the Lord against the works of darkness in our day. Fill me now with God the Holy Spirit. And Lord, fill this place with your presence and fill the hearts of your people with understanding in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The scribes have been most vicious in their attack of Christ, shamefully and wickedly declaring that he hath Beelzebub. You don't get lower than that to say it about Christ, that Jesus hath Satan, or Satan hath Jesus. And we dealt with that last week. Jesus set before them a very powerful argument to show how stupid and absurd their accusation was. And we looked at this last time. He says there in verse 23, how can Satan cast out Satan? Speaks in verse 24 about the kingdom being divided, how it can't stand. Verse 25, if a house is divided against itself, can't stand. If Satan is divided, he can't stand, but he hath an end. Now when we come to verse 27, he goes on to demonstrate how that he came to bind the devil, to destroy his works, so that the kingdom of Satan might be plundered. There are those who are in the strong grasp of the devil, in his clutches. They can't break free, not of themselves, for they are servants of sin and of Satan, and they are bound fast. But we've got good news. Jesus came to set at liberty the captives. And this is our job in gospel work, to oppose the devil, to fight against his works, to bring captives out of his prison, for that's where men are. To see to it that men and women are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and liberty and freedom. It is the longing of our hearts to see men set free, and we have the machinery to do it. It's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and men can be delivered. They can be set free from the bondage and the tyranny of the evil one, and praise God, Satan to Jesus must bow. However, in order for that to happen, the strong man must be bound. And I want to consider with you this evil power that pervades the world and how that we can overcome the devil and plunder his goods. I want you to consider, first of all, the description of the devil. The Lord calls him here strong man. In fact, the definite article is used in the original. So it is the strong man. There is none like him in all the created beings of this world. Remember, Satan was a created being at the beginning of days. He was a high and exalted angel of God at one time before he fell. The expression strong man is a term used to describe strength and might and power, usually referring to physical strength. And here's the picture, the illustration that the Lord is giving to us to indicate the mighty power of the devil. We see those competitions throughout the world in many countries about the strongest man, Ireland's strongest man, or you can go to various other nations where they have a similar competition, and they do things that really most of us, if we're honest, couldn't even dream about doing. And pulling those huge trucks, running with heavy logs or some other heavy weight for a distance, lifting heavy weights and so forth, all proving I'm the strongest man, or trying to prove that. The current world's strongest man is Ukrainian Oleksiy Novikov, if I get his name right. Just 24 years of age, or at least he was 24 when he became the youngest man ever to hold the title after his win in Florida back in November of 2020. He assumed the title after achieving a 1,185-pound partial deadlift. For those that don't know what that weight is, it's 6 or 7 times my weight. And I'm not going to tell you what my weight is, but it's reasonable just to say that. When I was a teenager, I used to play around with weightlifting. It wasn't my forte, as you can probably detect just by looking at me. But anyhow, I saw a photograph of Novikov, and he was lifting this enormous weight off the ground, a dead weight, just 18 inches he lifted up, and the iron bar, the steel bar, was actually bending with the weight. And in comparison, really, I've never lifted anything when you could see what he was able to do. And this is the picture that Jesus Christ is setting before us of the devil, the strong man. We're no match for his strength. We are no match for his ability and power. I have a brother-in-law who was a bit like this. He was strong. He was very strong, full of muscle. I had a summer job whenever I was a teenager, and he was working at the same place at the time. And he lifted me in one arm, and he lifted another friend in the other arm, and he gave us a bear hug, and we couldn't break free. And the other fellow was stronger than I was. We just couldn't break free. We were no match for him. Various titles are attributed to Satan, which highlights his outstanding strength and ability. He's a lion. Think of Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. That lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a great dragon, great red dragon, Revelation chapter 12. He's the god of this world. To call someone the god of this world is obviously indicating some kind of authority and power over men. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, He's the ruler of this world, says John chapter 12 and verse 31. He's the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul, speaking about the Christian warfare, he talks about strongholds, kind of a similar expression here. Paul reminds us that believers wrestle. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He wrote to the Ephesians about the snare of the devil and about those who are taken captive by him at his will. And there are not multiple examples in Scripture of Satan exercising his wicked and malicious power over man. The demoniac of Gadara had a legion of devils possessing him that caused him to have a life of misery. We read about the young lad whom the devil cast into the water and in the fire, evidently to destroy his life, again bringing great misery to that lad. And then there were those in the Bible who were lame and dumb and blind and deaf. And it's clearly seen there that it was all to do with Satan's activity. We read about another little woman who was bowed over together for 18 long years. And the Scripture tells us it was the work of the devil. Satan entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot to do the work that he did. He filled the heart of Ananias and Sapphira to lie against the Holy Ghost. He takes away the seed of the word. As the gospel is preached, the devil comes down and takes away that from the hearts of men. And all this is illustrating his mighty power. We think of how the devil has operated ever since, keeping men in bondage, blinding their eyes, causing gross ignorance, making men believe a lie, drawing them into addictions, destroying lives, bodies, relationships, marriages, souls. Sinners are chained and they are fettered by the strong man, and they are no match for him. They cannot break free. And the Lord is telling us here about the strong man. That's his description. I want you to note briefly the domain of the devil, because the Savior talks here about the strong man's house. The devil has a house. That word house means residence. It means abode. It can even mean family. Those who are not the Lord's people are in the house of Satan, in his kingdom, under his influence. They are, in a sense, his possession. That was more evident in demon possession, of course. Such people were held in bondage by Satan's demons. They were his property. However, it is true of all men without Christ. Every last son of Adam's race was born into this world as a slave to sin and to Satan. Turn over for a moment, please, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll read first of all verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Run your eye down to verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one man, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one is the free gift came upon all men to justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And when you continue to read on over into the 8th chapter, and I would commend to you to study the 8th chapter, you will see there how Paul is bringing it out very clearly to the Roman church that those in this world without Christ are servants of sin and of Satan. Without Christ, you are a subject of the kingdom of darkness, and the king of that kingdom is Satan. Think of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, speaking about the unconverted, or what it's like, these believers, what it was like when they were without Christ. In the past, they walked according to the course of the world. They walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That's how they walked. And that's how every man walks in this world without Jesus Christ, according to the prince of the power of the air. And this is brought out by the great apostle in his testimony when he was standing before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verses 17 and 18. Just want to read those verses with you. I believe that they will be helpful. Acts chapter 26, verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. And so Paul is saying, here's my ministry, King Agrippa. God has sent me that I might do this, that I might, through the preaching of the word, bring men out from under the power of Satan unto God. Because that's where men are. They are under the power, under the dominion of Satan, the strong man. Am I speaking to someone in the house of God today, or listening in on the internet, and you're in the strong man's house? You're still in his domain. You're under his control. You've never been converted. I trust you'll come to Christ today. I want you to see, thirdly, the dispossession of the devil. And it speaks here about spoiling his goods or plundering his possessions. The Lord is clearly showing that his desire, and it ought to be our desire as his people, was to take from Satan those who were under his sway and dominion. In the context, Beelzebub, as the Lord was accused of being, was not casting out his own devils. Satan was not casting out Satan. Satan was not dividing his kingdom, thus weakening it. Satan was not rising up against himself and pulling down his own strongholds. No, Jesus, the mighty Savior, and his church under his great leadership was entering into the strong man's house to spoil his goods. Jesus did this when he was here upon the earth. You think of the multitudes who came and they thronged his ministry, many of them whose lives were overrun and dominated by the devil. How many times did Jesus speak the word of command, come out of him, when he was commanding some evil spirit to come out of an individual, like in Mark chapter 1, verse 25. How many times do we read of how Jesus cast out many devils? Mark 1, verse 34 tells us that. Multitudes were set free. Multitudes were delivered from Satan's power and authority. Chains of sin were broken, and captives were wonderfully delivered. And that's what we desire today. Actual demon possession is not as prevalent today as it was in New Testament times. With the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, his power that he displayed and the work that he accomplished, and much of his kingdom were destroyed. However, men are still under the devil's influence if they are not in his possession. In this sense, Satan is the father figure of all unregenerated people. If God is not truly a person's father through adoption and the new birth, it's the only way that you can become a child of God. It's the only way you can truly address our God as Father, if you've been brought into his family. by adoption, by the experience of the new birth. My dear friends, if that has not happened and you have not been brought into the family of God, then there's only one other father who exercises authority over your life, over your mind, over your heart, and that's the devil himself. And we see that today, don't we? We're seeing it more and more in this evangelical land of ours. More and more people rising up because they are under the sway and the influence of the evil one to break the commandments of God, to destroy the things of God in this country. I remind you of the words of the Savior to the religious Jews in John chapter 8, verse 44, when he says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father ye will do." They were unconverted people. They didn't know the Lord. They were religious. They were churchgoers. They were readers of the Bible. They prayed. They had all that, but they were not converted people. And thus, God was not their father, even though they said he was. Jesus says, no, God is not your father. Ye are of your father, the devil. How do we know that men are under Satan's sway? They do the works of their father. That's how you can just simply know whose family you're in. You will do the works of your father. You will possess the character of your father. And those that are under the devil's dominion and he is their father, they will walk in this world according, as we read, according to the prince of the power of the air. They are disobedient to God's word. They live in the lusts of the flesh. They are carnal at heart. They are worldly in character and practice. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10 draws the distinction between the two. 1 John 3, and I'm going to read the previous two verses. So it's verse 8 through to 10. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So the distinction is drawn here between the children of God and the children of the devil. And everyone sitting here, but I don't need to narrow it down to such a tiny number. Everybody in the world, they are either a child of God or they are a child of the devil. It's as simple as that. John, the beloved disciple, is showing us very clearly who those who continue in sin, they're not the children of God. Jesus came to destroy the devil's works in men's lives. He came to set us free from bondage. Make no mistake about it, those who continually, because this is what the passage is speaking about, who continually and habitually commit sin, who love sin, who refuse to give up sin, who make excuses for their sin, they are of the devil. As Spurgeon said, it is no use making excuses and apologies. If you are a lover of sin, you will go to where sinners go. If you who live after this fashion say that you have believed in the precious blood of Christ, I do not believe you, sir. If you had a true faith in that precious blood, you would hate sin. If you dare to say that you are trusting in the atonement while you live in sin, you lie, sir. You do not trust in the atonement. For where there is a real faith in the atoning sacrifice, it purifies the man and makes him hate the sin which shed the Redeemer's blood. And I agree with Spurgeon, obviously. Unsaved man, wicked, sinful, religious, outwardly good men are part of the devil's kingdom and they're under his control. Whether they like to admit it or not, they are the devil's goods. And we want to spoil these goods. We want to plunder them from Satan's kingdom. We want to get them into the kingdom of God. That's our great burden, to bring men to Christ, to get them saved. We make no apology for that. We make no secret of that. You're sitting in this meeting today and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, you're still in the devil's kingdom. We make no apology to say that with all of our heart we love you and we desire that you're brought out of that kingdom into the kingdom of God and that God becomes your Father. Fourthly and finally, we have the defeat of the devil. Come back to our text in Mark 3, verse 27. No man can enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. We must first bind the strong man, Jesus says, and then we can spoil his house. Get sinners out of it. If I could just have bound my brother-in-law back in a day, tied him up with strong ropes or cords or cables, then he wouldn't have had the power over me that he did. Satan is a strong man. We're no match for him. We cannot bind him ourselves. We have no human strength to overcome his machinery or his weaponry. How then can we accomplish this? How can we bind him so that we can plunder his goods? We are only conquerors through him that loved us. And that's Jesus Christ. There is a strong man, but praise God, there's a stronger man, the blessed Christ. Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And we need spiritual weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. God has given to us a spiritual armor that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6, and especially the Word of God that's mentioned there, the sword of the Spirit. What a mighty weapon God's Word is. It is through the great invincible weapons of preaching and prayer that we will see the devil bound and souls set free. You take up the mighty gospel message and you proclaim its power to save, and you will see mighty things happening. You will soon discover that there is a book that defeats the devil, and it's this book that we have in our hands today, the mighty, mighty Word of God. As Jesus said to the devil, it is written. That's how the devil was overcome by the Savior himself in his temptation. It is written. Here's the mighty weapon, brethren and sisters, to overcome the devil. This is the real power. And I pray that we will go from this service today and know that the devil is a defeated foe through Christ and his mighty word, and that we will take on the powers of darkness through prayer and preaching and know what it is to be conquerors in our day. May God bless his word to your heart and mine for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that Satan to Jesus must bow. We thank thee that there is a strong man who can be overcome. We can bind him. And we thank thee for the weapons that you've given to us. We praise thee for the great weapon of prayer. We praise thee for the great weapon of preaching the word. We ask thee, Lord, that we will go forward and see to it that the devil is bound and that men are set free. And Lord, for any in this meeting today who are still in his house under his control, he has taken them captive at will. He has blinded them. They believe a lie today. Oh Lord, set them free. Bring them out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. And Lord, do it today. Do it before it is forever too late. Don't let the devil get a greater grip upon their lives. Oh God, come with your mighty power and set them free. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. It's the hymn 564. Victory that we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be that conqueror. Help us to go forward with thee. And Lord, may we see great and mighty things happening in our day. We pray that you will overturn the strong man's house, that you will plunder his goods, that men and women will be set free in this land and turn back again to righteousness, back again to the things of God, back again to your law and to your word. Lord, hear this prayer and separate us now with your blessing. Keep your hand upon us for good, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We thank you again for coming to Hebron, worshiping with us today, and you'll be asked to leave row by row. Thank you.